God is good and all the time. Amen. That's his nature, and there's nothing we can do about it but enjoy his goodness. Just want to say thank you, Pastor Ralph, the leadership of Grand Valley Christian Center, the directors, the elders, and the congregation, for the privilege to serve. Amen. I definitely, my family, myself, it's a privilege to serve, and we're happy to be here, and we covet your prayers. Amen. Praise God. All right, time to go into the Word. As you can see, time is flying, but I'm going to ask for an extra 10 minutes or so of your time today, okay, because the Word is coming forth, okay? God has given me a Word for us, and I can't break it in half. I have to complete it, okay? So what I'm going to talk a little bit about today is draw near. So if you can get your Bibles, you can open to the book of Isaiah and chapter 51. A few weeks ago, someone called the office. This person was not a member, but this person wanted to talk to a pastor. Now, as we spoke, he said to me, "Pastor, do you think that Jesus is coming soon?" Now, he went on to share his concerns and to make a case of why the coronavirus is from the devil and a sign that Jesus was going to be popping on the scene soon. I listened, and in light of what was happening around our world, I mean, the guy had some excellent points. I then shared my perspective with him, and then we moved on. Now, he was looking to make sense of the uncertainty, of the conflict, of the grief, of the anxiety that we all see in our world as a result of COVID-19. Since then, we had race wars, conspiracy theories are on the rise, nations are in conflict, protests is happening across the world. They're against injustices. What is all of this leading to is the big questions in everyone's mind. Now, I'd like us to look at Isaiah 51. It has some nuggets for us when the world around us seems to be spinning out of control. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray, Heavenly Father God, that it will accomplish that which you have said it to accomplish in our hearts and minds. Father, I thank you for everyone that's here and for everyone that is listening online this morning, that may be in their house, on their couch, wherever they find themselves. We pray, O God, that you would touch us, that you would do only what you can do as a result of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So God called Isaiah, I'm giving you a little bit of background, after the death of a great and popular king named Uzziah. There was a transition of power that was about to go down. And back in those days, just because daddy was a good king doesn't mean that his son is going to be a good king as well, right? So this alone caused the people of Israel, of Judah, lots of anxiety. The second thing that was happening was this kingdom called Assyria. They had destroyed the neighboring kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom. And the Assyrians were right now at the doorsteps of Judah. They were knocking. Not only that, there was even a more powerful kingdom, the Babylonians, that was rising up somewhere. Now, lots were happening around them that could stir up fear. God had a word for his people. Well, actually, that's an understatement. God had about 66 chapters of words for his people. Amen. And God's message to his people through the man Isaiah was twofold. God wanted them to know that, listen, the first thing, that God was going to bring impending judgment on them because of their sin. He was continually encouraging Judah, the people, to obey him from a sincere heart. And we can see it like in scriptures in Isaiah 1, 18 to 20, it reads, God was challenging his people through Isaiah when he said, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The second thing that God wanted them to know is that he was going to bless them. He wanted them to know that he was going to deliver his people. He wanted them to know that he will send salvation through his servant, the one that we know as Jesus. And he wanted them to know that he will restore Israel and the world. Now, the people of Judah could see the impending danger from a place that is safe. Nevertheless, they were concerned about whether that danger that is far away would come into their safe place. How was the people to deal with these two messages from God? His judgment on the horizon as danger approaches, and the promises of his blessings. Well, Isaiah 51 addresses this, and I believe that the news there is still applicable for us today. Amen? Are you with me? Let's go to our Bible. Let's read from Isaiah 51. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 7. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden, her deserts like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me, and I will set up my justice for a light to my peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out, and my arm will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like the smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear not the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revelings. When you're facing anxiety, fear, anxiousness, when you are safe, but you can foresee a danger on the horizon, the first thing God wants his people to do is listen. In verse 1, he says, listen to me. In verse 4a, he says, listen, pay attention to me, give ear to me. And in verse 7a, he said the same thing, listen to me. The world is noisy. Danger, yes, is on the horizon. But I need my people who are called by my name to listen to me. Then God qualifies those that he wants to hear what he has to say. And this is what he said. He said, listen to me, those who are pursuing me, those who are seeking me, I need you to listen. Amen? He said in verse 4, those who identify themselves as belonging to me, I need you to listen to me. And then in verse 7, he says, listen to me, those of you who know righteousness, who knows the word of God. The word of God is close to your heart. Amen? So God is calling. Because, you know, in Jeremiah 29, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your hearts. God is looking for his people to position themselves in a place where they can hear what he has to say. What God wants to release to us, he wants to give it to faithful men and women who will do something about what he has given. So if you are in distress because of dangerous circumstances, if God is your God, then you need to seek him. Pick up his word and read it, that you may know him. I want to share with you six things. Six things that we can learn about God that can help us in time of danger. In Isaiah 51, 1 and 2, he says, look to Abraham. Look to Sarah. When we look at them, what do we see? We see a family barren with no children, receiving a promise from God, and they held on to that promise by faith. We see that at the age of 100 years old and 90 years old, Abraham and Sarah conceived a son. God brought to life out of Sarah's dead womb a son. We live today knowing that God's promises to Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 12, 1 and 3, they are fulfilled. We see that, right? God said, I'll bless you. Is Abraham blessed? God says, I'll make you a great nation. Has God made him a great nation? God said, through you, nations will be blessed. Has that happened? Yes. God has fulfilled his word. So when we look to Abraham and Sarah, what do we see? We see that whatever God promises, despite the circumstances, despite how impossible it may look, if God said it, then God will do it. Amen? God will do it. The second point in Isaiah 51, 4, God gives instructions. Amen? He gives orders. He gives commands. He gives guides. And he directs. We don't serve a dead God. No. But one that is ready to show us what to do in every single situation that we face. When you get into the presence of God, please, brothers, sisters, don't be in a rush to get out. When you are on your knees, bearing your heart before God, spend time listening. Spend time listening. You know, some of us are good at listening for others, but we suck when it comes to hearing for ourselves. Don't switch it off. Allow the Lord to speak to you, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He gives instructions back then, and he continues to do so today. The third thing, Isaiah 51, 6, says, everything that we know will vanish. The heavens will vanish. The earth will vanish. I will vanish. You will vanish. All the inhabitants of this world will vanish. But one thing that lasts forever is in this world is God's salvation and his righteousness. Amen. The salvation that God has given to us in Christ Jesus and the work we do in him is what will stand the test of time. God has placed eternity within our hands. What we do with our lives will speak for eternity. As we live our lives, something eternal is being scripted. Our faith allows us to handle eternity in a temporal place. We have to stop living like our lives don't matter. It does. Because what we do here will speak for eternity. Amen? The fourth thing, and I'm going through this fast. And I'm going to read from verse 7 to 13 of Isaiah 51. It says, listen to me, you who know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear not the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revelings. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation to all generations. In verse 12, he says, I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies, of the son of man who is made like grass, and have forgotten the Lord, your maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and you fear continually all the day because of the wrath of the oppressor when he sets himself to destroy. And where is the wrath of the oppressor? When dealing with eternity, God wants us to know you can't fear the disapproval, criticism, and accusations of men. Praise God. When dealing with eternity, you cannot fear the disapproval, the criticism, the accusation of men. You cannot let their attempt to attack and defame you be the reason for you to be shaken. Why? Because God says, man dies. Man is like grass, here today and gone tomorrow. To fear man is to forget God who made man, heaven, and earth. Even if a man sets himself like an oppressor, God desires his people to fear not. Can I get an amen? So don't look at those who desire to keep you down for help. Because God in Isaiah is saying, God is the one who comforts. He is the one who comforts his people. Amen? So don't fear man. The fifth point in Isaiah 51, 14 and 15, it says, he who is bowed down shall speedily be released. He shall not die and go down to the pit, neither shall his bread be lacking. I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea so its waves roar. The Lord of hosts. Some version says the Lord of armies is his name. It is not the oppressor who has the final say concerning our lives and concerning the situations that we face. God has the final say. Amen? And we know last week that he's a good father, that he's a loving father, that he's a kind father. Amen? He's a father that we can trust. Now in Isaiah 51, from verses 1 to 15, encourage three sets of people to listen to him. God says, if you're seeking me, I want you to listen. If you identify as yourself belonging to me, I need you to listen. And if you know my word, it is close to your heart, I need you to listen. And we were able to pull five things about God so far. However, there were some verses I missed intentionally because they demonstrate God's power, which is the sixth thing. The things only God can do. Will you allow me to read some of those things out for you this morning? To encourage so that we can pick up faith. Amen? In Isaiah 51 verses 3, he says, he comforts all the waste places of Zion, of his people, of his church. He comforts all our waste places. He makes her wilderness like Eden, the garden of the Lord. He places joy, he places gladness, he places thanksgiving, and he places voice of songs. In Isaiah 51:5, it says, righteousness and salvation belongs to God. His arm alone judges nations. God has an army that dispenses justice on behalf of nations that wait for him. So the Bible says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not be faint. God has armies waiting for nations that would turn his way. Amen? In verses 9 and 11, it says, the strength of God's arm destroyed Egypt. It said, it made the seabed a road so that God's chosen people will walk on dry land. There is nothing that is impossible with God. When God is deciding and ready to move us, in a direction. There is nothing that can stop him. Egypt can't stop him. The sea can't stop him. Amen? It releases people from captivity. Amen? God is the God that is able to release us from captivity. And it is said, he set the captives free. Amen. His arm brings singing. His arm brings everlasting joy. His arm brings gladness. And his arm caused sorrow and sighing to flee. And in verse 15 and 16, it says that he stirs up the sea so that the waves roar. It says that he is Lord of armies. He gives his word to whom he chooses. He covers those with the word by the shadow of his hands. His word establishes the heavens and lays the foundations of the earth. See, when God says, you are mine, we are his. We are totally covered. Amen? We are totally covered. All this to say that our God is powerful. Your heavenly Father powers knows no bounds. There are many benefits, hence, for us to seek God, to identify ourselves with him, and to know him. God's currency is his word. When God came to Abraham, the Bible says many times over and over, the word of the Lord came to him. When Jesus came, as we read last week in John 17, he says, Father, I have given them your word. And then he prayed for them and said, listen, I'm going to send them out to share that word. And you know what? The world is going to hate them. But I need you to protect them because of that word. When God wants to do something in the lives of his people, he sends his word. He sends his word. That's his currency. So I don't know what you're looking for. But when God wants to do business with his people, he gives us his word. And so that's why he's saying, seek me. That's why he is saying, listen, get into my word and listen to what I have to say. When we prepare ourselves like that, when we put ourselves in that position, we put ourselves in the place to do business with God. To do business with God. Amen. I'm going to recap these 6 points. Whatever God promises, despite the circumstance, despite how impossible it may look, if God said it, then it's done. Draw near. God gives instructions. He gives order. He gives commands. He guides and he directs. God speaks. Amen? So draw near. Everything that we know will vanish. And the only thing that lasts forever is the word, is God's salvation and his righteousness. So draw near. Do not fear men. God comforts. So draw near. God has the final say. So draw near. And God is powerful. He is Almighty God. So draw near. Isaiah 51 would have been an absolute comfort to Judah when they found themselves in captivity in Babylon. They were in a foreign land. One that does not recognize their custom. One that does not recognize their traditions or worship. They were living in a pagan rulership that did not honor God. No love for God. It was a pagan society that had no interest in God or his rule. It would not be surprised then if in that culture there were some of God's people who were turning from him and adapting to the way the Babylonians do things rather than establishing God's kingdom. Yet to those, even then, even in that place, God was asking that his people position themselves. Listen. Amen? Listen. Listen. And God made promises to them. In Isaiah 51, 22 and 23, this is the promise that God made to them, to the people of Judah at this time. But I'm saying that, before I read that, I'm saying that to say this. We may find ourselves uncertain and in uncertain times, you know, where we don't know what's going to happen. But even so, God is expecting that his people position themselves to hear what he has to say. Isaiah 21 to 23, it says, thus says the Lord your God, the Lord your God, who pleads the cause of his people. The word just baffles me. It says he pleads the cause of his people. God, the Lord, is pleading your cause. What a beautiful high priest we have. Behold, I've taken from you the hand, from your hand, the cup of staggering, the bowl of my wrath, you shall drink no more. And I will put it into the hand of your tormentors, who have said to you, bow down, that we may pass over. And you have made your back like the ground and like the street for them to pass over. But God, hallelujah, was pleading the cause of his people. I don't know where you find yourself this morning. Whether you are on the ground and you are being tormented, they told you to put your back on the ground to walk over. And you have placed your back, your face is in the dirt, and you've placed your back, and the enemy, the oppressor, is walking over you. I don't know where you're at right now, but it says the God is pleading the cause of his people. God is not unjust. Amen. He is a faithful God. He is a faithful God. Somebody hear me. When they say there's going to be a pressing down, there's going to be a lifting up for those that will position themselves to listen to what God has to say. He is calling his people. If you're listening online, wherever you find yourself, God is calling his people to listen to him. Position yourselves as seekers. Know that you belong to him. Read his word. Get to know him. We've been saying this from the pulpit over and over and over again. Listen to me as a pastor here. I want to preach something else. Amen. God is saying to his people, seek me. Like you're seeking so many things, but seek me. I have something to say to you. I want to speak to you. One word from God changed Abram's life. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He said, the cup of staggering is removed to this people. Bowl of my wrath has been quenched. Those that torment you will be tormented. For us, God was making to them a promise in history. But today, he has made a covenant with us. A binding agreement. In Hebrews 10, 16 and 17, he said, this is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. I said it before. When God wants to do business with his people, he gives us his word. And God has removed every barrier by the blood of Jesus Christ. Anything that would prevent us from listening and hearing and receiving what the Lord has to say, he has removed it all. And the Bible says, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. So we can enter into the presence of God boldly to receive what God has for us in this time. Amen. So children of God, lift up your heads and let the King of Glory come in. Who is this King of Glory? He is the Lord God, mighty in battle. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So in summary, position yourself, seek him, identify with him, know him, so that you can listen to what God has to say. Because the God we serve is a God of power. Amen. He will keep us when the world around us seems to be in turmoil. Amen. God bless you. You may rise to your feet. Amen. Selah. Amen. Jess, do you know that song, Lord Bless You, Keep You? No. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord give you peace. May you be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. May you be blessed as you go out, and may you be blessed as you come in. May the Lord cause your feet to walk on the straight and narrow path and away from every crooked path. May what the enemy has set up to cause you to stumble, may he stumble in it himself. May the Lord cause your feet to be like the hind's feet and set you on high places. Cause you to go on the wings of eagles, that you may see his goodness, that you may see his faithfulness, that you would see his might, and that you would declare that your God reigns and reigns forevermore. Father, bless your people in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen. God bless you. Have a blessed day.